It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. As I have been for the last several months, I am recording from my home studio, so you may hear a cat cry or some other extraneous noise you wouldn't hear in the studio, but so bear with me. These are extraordinary times, as you know. COVID has changed the way we conduct ourselves in our everyday lives. There is something that's not talked about a lot, though, and that's how to handle the death of a loved one. And I'm not talking about a death due to COVID, but funerals in general. How do you stay safe while honoring your loved one with a traditional service, or do you? My guest today is one of my favorite people, Jim Fernald. He's owner of Brookings Smith, which is a family-owned and operated funeral home that provides the greater Bangor area with complete mortuary services. They have facilities in Bangor, Brewer, Hamden, and Orono. They also have a comprehensive website that can give you tremendous information if you're looking for some. Jim, thank you so much for being here today and discussing this with me.
Well, thank you. God, that was quite an intro. Thank you.
This is really, really hard. COVID is hard any way you slice it. A death is hard enough in the best of circumstances, if there is such a thing. But if you add a pandemic on it, it just increases the level of difficulty.
Absolutely.
Especially emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I have personal experience with this, as my mother's last remaining sister passed away in October, and we didn't go to the funeral. It was out of town, just, you know, not far, maybe 30 miles. But we were scared. We're mom's 93, and it took about a week to decide whether or not we were going down there, and I was just very nervous. So we elected not to, but I want to get into, in a little bit, the emotional side of that, because I know that it affected her to not be able to do that.
Yeah.
So go ahead, sorry.
Oh, absolutely. No, she's entitled to all those feelings. It must have been very difficult for her.
It was, and it was hard for me because I didn't know what to do, what was best for her, and should we go and risk it or should we not? And in the greater scheme of things, it just didn't feel like I thought she should take that risk, and she didn't either. But I know it was very hard. So there are rules and guidelines that exist today for the pandemic, for funerals. Can you talk about that and what changes have been made and what you're doing as a professional funeral director?
Oh, absolutely. This is just very difficult, bizarre times almost. And I think to somewhat cut to the chase a little bit is that through this pandemic, not only are people dealing with other losses, not even talking about death, you know, loss of freedom to go to the grocery store or loss of just seeing your doctor instead of, you know, you're doing like a Zoom appointment, or losses of not being able to see family like you used to, or to get out and do things. And so when it comes to time that we actually lose a loved one, a sibling or a partner or whoever it may be, people have been very emotional. It's been a very difficult time for so many people. And for us in the funeral industry, we've just tried to do our best, put our best foot forward and try to point people in the right direction. But there's a lot of different things going on that we can talk about. One is that to go to memorialization, a lot of people think that you can't do, you know, anything at all, I think, is a misconception out there right now. But to go to the, and of course, these guidelines that are set down by CDC are kind of like a moving target because they change every now and then. For a while there, they were changing weekly. We haven't had a change in these numbers since last month. But we're allowed to have 50 people for a funeral in a funeral home or church. And that does include, you know, the minister or funeral director or any other, you know, organist, that type of thing. I guess the trend has been to for some people that normally wouldn't have done, like a, it comes with a couple different names, awake or calling hours or visiting time. We're calling them gatherings to celebrate a life. Just an unstructured time to come into the funeral home has been more of a trend than ever. So because over a course of maybe 2 or 3 hours, we can have at any one time a maximum of 50 people in the in our facility. But over the course of a couple hours, we can have up to 200 or 300, which happened actually last week with a person that had passed that was knew many people. So that's been somewhat of a trend there.
So if someone is trying to plan a funeral, they're thinking about that, how do you advise them on the best way to do that? Especially if they're thinking, do I even do it at all? And if I don't, how do I memorialize this person?
Great question. Our feedback has been, and to go but just from our own experience, back in March of this year, we were not able to do any funerals for a couple months. I think it was up until 1st of June. And through this time period, not only did we have a few people die from COVID, but we had people, you know, there's still a, you know, a drug, you know, issue out there. There's people that pass naturally. And then we also had people that had actually passed before March that we weren't able to do the burial, like a spring interment type of thing, until the spring. So we had, you could call it a backlog or whatever, but we had many people that just postponed things. And one of our experiences was is that they're trying to please the family. And what we found was, we rescheduled a bunch of times because at one point, this one family, as an example, they set up a time to do it, let's call it the 1st of July, and to have a service. And then in July, there was huge numbers in Texas, Florida, California, so families from those areas couldn't make it. So, and it caused a great deal of stress and emotion on the family to do something that was meaningful. So one of the things we provide at Birking Smith anyway, and most, I think a lot of funeral directors are doing this, is their web streaming, even graveside services, so people can, from afar, be part of the service. And we also offer to record the service, so if someone doesn't have that ability, we can send them a DVD or something like that. And that's gone pretty well. But we have seen that a lot of people like the thought of being able to memorialize. And to talk of why we do this anyway, I try to put it in the context that memorial service is a bridge. It's a bridge between the life that was with this person, and now we have a new life with a person no longer there. And the bridge connects those two. And that bridge of memorialization, I think, is key for, you know, for a good to move forward in a positive way with loss into the future. And if you make a real long bridge because you're going to wait 2 or 3 months to connect those two lives, I think that people are really having a hard time getting their arms around it and working through their loss because they haven't had any memorial and they put it off or postponed it.
Do you find that emotionally it's better to even do an abbreviated version or a streaming version or a DVD of it than to put it off for 3, 6 months or a year?
Yes, I have. We've tried to point this out to more families, and I think it's a better grief experience for them to be able to somewhat move on, maybe do a somewhat of a service, and then maybe put off the burial until everybody can, you know, be in town type of thing, and then maybe do something else into the future. But doing something now, I think that it creates more of a community support that people want to reach out, or friends, or in addition to family. So I think it's it helps with a good grief response.
So as a funeral director, you offer all of these options to people, is that right? So if they come to you and say, I just don't know what to do, because they're already at a heightened state
Absolutely.
Of anxiety having lost someone, mm-hmm. what's your first advice?
My Our first advice is, we're caregivers just like hospice people are, and everything else is to see what the needs are. But really, our advice is really to do something now, there's a lot of anxiety and stress I think people put on themselves when they aren't able to do anything. And so we've tried to get them to do something. And for our particular facility, we have reception facilities as well as, chapels and this and that. And I guess another trend through this time has been cremation. A lot of people are, and I think that's been going up and up for a long time, but this really has pushed a lot of people to cremation, especially if they're going to wait 3, 4, or 5 months, to do something. So
we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about ways supporting your own health while you're grieving, and we'll revisit the cremation thing as well. So stay with us. Lots more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk and Jim Fernald Brookings Smith. When we left, I said that we would talk about supporting your health while grieving, and we will, I promise. But I want to get to something else, that how difficult it is right now as people are dying, again, either from disease or from COVID or for whatever reason, that the loved ones can't be with them while they are in the hospital. They can't be with them as they're dying. How do you handle that?
That's a great question, Carol. I think through this time, that has been probably the most heightened part of, I think guilt, maybe. A lot of, especially to a mother, a daughter, promised to be by their bedside, at the time of death, that people aren't allowed to go into some nursing homes these days and to be present. Some are only allowed to be there one at a time. You can't, gather the whole family there. I've talked to some people in hospice, and a huge trend has been that a lot of people are being convalesced at home. So that's still more of a burden on the family to care for a loved one at home. And the reason why they want them home is so that they can gather together as a family and to be able to say their goodbye at that time. And having been there myself, it's a highly emotional time, and to many people, that's the first start of the grieving process is to be present when someone passes, and that they feel good about them being present and in support of the whole family.
You had talked about cremation rates increasing because of COVID. Do you find that people are just even more emotional if that was something that they hadn't planned on doing, that they're doing this now because of so many delays?
They are. I think that we've had some families that would have probably had an open casketed viewing and service and then maybe cremation afterwards, but they aren't doing that piece just because they don't feel people will turn out or they don't want to ask people to take the risk, as you talked about earlier, to be present. We've seen a lot of older people not come in just because it is a risk for them, to come in and be with other people. And with cremation, too, it's not a requirement to view the body. So, and then if people can't be at the nursing home or hospital at the time of passing, we have had to make, and this is all funeral directors, a time for them to come in and view the body before cremation, just so that they can try to have that time to say goodbye. And I'm not talking embalming or anything like that, but just a time to be present, with your loved one. And just so much of this viewing process is to make it real, so make it real in your head that, so there's that ending point and a new starting point without that person no longer with you.
The closure is such a critical piece, and I feel like people are being kind of adrift if they don't have that opportunity. What happens if someone actually does die from COVID? How does that affect the body, and how do you handle that?
We've had several We help with the Jewish community, and we had two people pass actually in Boston, and we brought them back to be be laid to rest with their family here in the Jewish cemeteries. But to answer your question, COVID is not a disease you want to catch. Especially the elderly, it raises the dickens with the body, but we have had viewings. We have embalmed a couple and had viewings for the families, survivors. Another experience we've had is that the survivors also have COVID, so they've had to quarantine. They've had to wait. To be able to come in and do that. It's been really complicated. To what is the right time to come in and to make arrangements. We've been commonly pushing to have people pre-plan, so at least they don't have to think about a lot of those details. But still, it's been really a confusing time for many families to know what to do. Every case has been so different.
What does someone do if they have pre-planned with you, say, a few years ago, and everything's all set, and now because of COVID, they can't follow through with the plans that they had? How do you restructure what they maybe were planning on doing?
For us, anyway, and most funeral directors, when we initially set up a pre-plan, we tried to talk about this quite a bit, which is we're just going to do the best we can to try to anticipate how things are going to go into the future. Some people, might live another 20 to 30 years after they've done a pre-plan, so obviously a lot of things could change. So we've adapted to whatever the needs of the family are, to accommodate things that we just never thought to expect years ago, and I think that's the fairest and most honest way to accomplish that.
We need to go to break. When we come back, we are going to talk about how you can support your own health while you're grieving, because that is critically important as well. So stay with us. Lots more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. So as promised, Jim is going to discuss supporting your own health while you're grieving, because grief can take you down a rabbit hole that you just don't want to go down. So Jim, let's talk about this. You have a wonderful book called Grieving Alone and Together that you sent me, and I do appreciate it. And I found this fascinating of things that people can do, some things I hadn't thought of. Mm-hmm. So let's start at the top with safety.
Sure. And to kind of go there, Carol, we have a bunch of these books. They're great for families. And if anybody would like one, to give us a call, we will drop one in the mail to them, or send us an email.
And what's your number? What's the number to call?
It's 942-8815, or go to our website at brookingsmith.com.
942-8815 or brookingsmith.com to get
correct.
This book. It's a terrific book, and I think that
really
everyone should get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Safety.
And we do recommend that to listen to what the CDC is recommending. I mean, minimal it takes to wear a face covering, to have social distancing, to be careful where you're going out in your community. These are all legitimate things, from just looking at a complete science point of view. I mean, it's just, we just can't express that anymore. We've had some pushback because we require all these things when people come to services. And not only are they a requirement for our licensing to be able to have services, but it just makes sense during this time.
And what about, so there are some other ones, limiting alcohol.
Yeah, definitely on that. Drugs and alcohol. I think that soon the holidays will be with us and we'll be gathering with some folks. But to try to be careful of that, not get too out of hand, I guess. But I think that by not drinking or using drugs, you'd be able to understand and fully feel what's going on in your life, So I think that's a good one, too, not to be careful of that limiting alcohol.
And getting enough sleep is another one that you mentioned. While that may be difficult if you've suffered a traumatic loss, still critical to get enough sleep.
Absolutely, and so many people, too, that have been with their loved ones, they've sometimes been up, two or three weeks, nights, and their routine's been all askew. And I think that getting back to a routine, trying to get your sleep, is all key. And one of my favorite is exercise. So many people have been out, hiking, and I have a Springer Spaniel at home, and man, does he like to go for a walk. And that's always been a good one, but so many people have been out doing that, and I really can't emphasize that enough to try to get some type of exercise, get out and about.
This book, again, is called Grieving Alone and Together. It can be yours for 942-8815, 942-8815, or log on to brookingsmith.com and get a copy. Can you, before we go, are there other guidelines that you'd like to share briefly?
Yes. Some of the guidelines, these are just kind of practical guidelines, but one is if the passing happens at a home, we do ask families that I think this is a great misconception, Carol, that a lot of people think, geez, I got to get right on the phone to the funeral director and have him come to the home. Especially we talk that cremation is more of a trend today. And for many people, that's the last time they see their loved one is right at home. So we express to take your time saying your goodbyes to gathering as a family, because one of our guidelines is when we go to a home, we can have up to a maximum of 5 people in the home when we're there, just for better protection of the aerosols and stuff. So when staff from the funeral industry do show up, we do have face coverings and gloves and all those types of safety measures. But so the last thing we would want to do is make people rush through their time, to say goodbye. So we try to express that.
Because people probably they're just in an emotional state and probably start to panic that they need to call you immediately and maybe lose that time where they can just sit with it and do that, because it's not an immediate need. Correct?
Exactly. And I've been bedside myself, and even as a funeral director, it's hard to say goodbye. No, this is forever. The permanence of loss is really tough. One of the other common things we express is that to talk about all these grief little things that we're doing is we don't get over our grief. We just push through and we try to get through it, day by day. And these are a lot of these different symbols or things we do in the common everyday practice of in our industry and funeral world are things to help people, into a healthy grief process. And so one of the things that has been a tough one is a lot of people come to the funeral home to make arrangements, and through COVID and through issues, we've had to go to internet and to try to do things over the phone more and so on and so forth. So we suggest a pre-plan as another good thing.
I do want to say before we go, let the animals say goodbye too. I've been in this situation and they do understand.
Absolutely.
And had a friend whose poodles went and said goodbye when the woman died, and it made a big difference. So let the animals say their goodbyes as well. Jim Fernald, you are a wealth of information as always. It's always a pleasure to have you on Senior Talk. Again, this book, I highly recommend it. 942-8815, 942-8815, brookingsmith.com. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Stay safe, everyone.